today out of verse 17 as my text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What in the world does it mean? What does it mean to be a new creature? When it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What does that mean? What is he talking about? Paul said in Ephesians 5:24 that we were created in righteousness and true holiness. New man, created in righteousness and true holiness. Now there's a theology that says that there's no such thing as a new creature. We're not made partakers of the divine nature, we just have fellowship with God. And I don't know what nature could have fellowship with God. Our old nature can't, that's for sure. Can it? I didn't know God in my old nature. Wasn't interested in knowing God in my old nature. So, but what does it mean to be a new creature? You know, our Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Then he told him again, said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And that word see means to perceive, to understand, to grasp, to comprehend, and enter it. Enter it. Now, the only way in the world we can come to an understanding of what this means, what it is to be a new creature, is to look at what the Scriptures say. Right where it says it. Right where it says it. Right in its context. Amen. Look at the context is when it says. You know, they say if a preacher takes a text and then divorces from its context, all he's doing is preaching a pretext. But you know, you stay. You deal with what it's saying, where we're saying it at. What does it, what did he say this at this particular time? Why did he say it? Huh? And that's what he says there in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, first look there at that first word. It says, therefore. Therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, you got to look and see what therefore is there for. So you got to go back to see what he's saying, to see why he said therefore. Therefore. Huh? And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man claims to know Christ, claims to have a relationship with Christ. And this is the key right here. If any man be in Christ, not know some things about Christ, not know some things about the Bible, not to know some things about theology or some doctrine, but this is a different thing. If any man be in Christ, there's the key, in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You can't put yourself in Christ, no more than I can put myself in your family. I can take your name, but that don't make me be in your family. I say I'm going to come live with you. That don't make me be in your family. And to be in Christ, you see, a man can say anything, but how in the world do you get in Christ? Do you get in by coming to the front, walking an aisle, praying the sinner's prayer, raising your hand, signing a decision card, having the preacher take you through the sinner's prayer, whatever in the world that might be? Huh? Well, I tell you how you get in Christ. God puts you in Christ.
Amen.
Ain't that what the next verse says there in verse 18? All things are of God. And it says there in what is it in verse 5? Now he that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who hath also given us the earnest of the Spirit. So this is God's work. Well, how in the world did God put us in Christ? First of all, he put us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're in, God's people were in Christ by electing grace. Ain't that what the Scripture says? For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Them he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who's going to condemn us? It's God that justified us. So we were in Christ. Those that this talking about being in Christ, they were in Christ before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ. Elected of God. Elected of God. That's how you get in Christ. And this election is not this way. It's not... It's not God made a vote, and the devil made a vote. Now you, by your free will, you cast a deciding vote.
No, sir.
That's not this election. This is something that God does. Our Lord Jesus said 6 times in John 17 that those that thou hast given me, those thou hast given me, those thou hast given me. When were we given to him? In Christ before the foundation of the world. Huh? And then we're in Christ, beloved, by effectual calling, by hearing the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know we was in Christ before the foundation of the world until somebody came and preached the gospel to us. Somebody came and told us about the Lord Jesus Christ, told us about what He accomplished, who He accomplished it for, and told us about His glorious power, His glorious blood, His glorious might, His glorious grace, His glorious might, and all beloved in His wisdom, and somebody told us about Christ. And we had all these experiences, we had all these professions, and oh my, so, and we had to throw them all away, and here we are, we're confronted with this thing that God has a people. Am I one of His people?
Yeah.
Do I know Him? Do I actually know Him? Have I experienced God coming into me and saving me by His power, saving me by His grace, conquering me by His will? Oh my, this effectual calling. Now, I don't know how, all we do is preach the gospel. And how in the world God calls people is by that gospel, by the word.
That's right.
And when that word goes out, and that's why, I said, that, I prayed, the hour is coming and nigh is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, that's the fact you're calling. Now, I don't know who hears. God knows who hears. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Ain't that right? Everyone the Father gives me, what are they going to do? They don't come to me. And beloved, you know why you come to Him? Because you was in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ did not come here and roll the dice to see if men would give Him the chance, give Him the opportunity to let Him save them.
Amen.
That's not what it's about. Our Lord Jesus Christ came here and He has a people, and those people are in Him. And I guarantee you this, and I don't have a bit of qualms in saying this. It does not frighten me. It gives me great confidence to say this. That everyone that was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, everyone for whom Christ died, shall be effectually called, shall realize their relationship with Christ, and shall come to Christ, even those that haven't been born yet.
That's right.
And if you don't come, and if you don't never hear the gospel, you know why? Because you never was in Christ.
Okay.
Now that shuts people's mouths. That shuts people's mouths. Salvation's of the Lord. I don't think God's not interested in what we think. He's interested in what He does.
Amen.
His will. Ain't that right? And oh my, let me show you something now. If any man, well, that's new. To be in Christ, that's new. But look here in verse 14. This is new. Talking about all things new, the things that are new. The very fact that we're in Christ and being called to the gospel, that was new to us. And then look here in verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. This is new. we realized the love of Christ. We didn't know Christ loved us. And we certainly didn't love Christ until we were made these new creatures. Is that not right? His love constrains us. It never constrained us before. It never done anything for us before until we were in Christ, till we were called of Christ, till we was brought to Christ, till we was made new creatures in Christ. And oh, beloved, not only do He love us, but we love Him. And this love constrains us. The love that Christ has for us constrains us, and our love for Him constrains us. Now this word constrained means to exert force. Exert force. And beloved, either urging to action or restraining from action. And because Christ's love for us, it was exertion of a force. Exertion means putting into action to come into this world, to live for us, and be our representative, and do for us what we could not do for ourselves.
Amen.
Herein doeth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life for the sheep. And oh no, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And it kept Him and called Him and brought Him into this world. And His love, our love for Him, it exerts a force on us. Don't it? We love Him because He first loved us. And His love, our love for Him urges us to love Him. It exerts a force on us. It moves us to live for Him, to live for His glory, to live to His honor, to obey His word, to see what He has to say. It moves us to love Him. It moves us to obey Him. It moves us to come hear the gospel. It moves us to want to be with the Lord's people. It moves us to love one another. It moves us. It's a force on us. You know what? It's sad that people, you know, go on and on about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Want them in their yard, want them in the courthouses, and all that. And that's fine. That's fine. But every time you look at them, and every time you have them, they say guilty, 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 condemn, 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 condemn. Ain't that right? Huh? Feller asked me one time, said, how in the world do you keep people from committing adultery and lying and stealing if you don't use the law as a rule of life? I knew all those things was wrong when I was unconverted. But you know what? It's not law that makes me treat my wife right. Keep me from beating her so I won't go to jail for domestic violence. The law don't keep me from doing it. Love causes me to treat her right. Love causes me to treat you right. Love is the greatest motivator and the greatest force known to the human mind and the human heart. Love of flesh and love of pleasure. Look what a force it exerts on people to do the things that they do. It exert this love for self, love of the flesh, love of pleasure. Look at what it does in men's lives as it exerts that force on them. But then you take the love of Christ, the force, exertion, and that constrained Him and brought Him into this world to do for us. And so that very thing happens to us. When we're made new creatures, there's an exertion on our love. To love Him, embrace Him, and do like Mary, sit at His feet and say, I found that good part. Huh? Whoa, would I mistreat Him who loved me so? Would I lie on Him who loved me so? Would I curse Him who loved me so? Would I deny Him who loved me so? Would I not want to be in His presence who loved me so? Would I not want to read of Him who loved me so? Would I not want to talk about Him who loved me so? Huh? And on, and because of the love of Christ that constrains us, watch this, we come to a judgment there in verse 14. Because we thus judge, since the love of Christ constrains us, We come to this judgment.
Yes.
Christ's love for us and our love, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. What in the world does this mean? It means because of Christ's love for us, one died for all. Now, not every man, but all that the Father gave him.
Yes.
Out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, character, class. Huh? And if he died for all, why he died for them? Because they were all dead. I'm going to give you two interpretations of this now. See, we were dead in sin. We were dead in law, or dead to law. We were dead in Adam. And our Lord Jesus Christ died for His people. And when He died for all these that were dead this way, it also says that He died for all, then all were dead, or all died with Him also. Huh? When He died, all died in Him. Huh? And ain't that what it says in verse 15, that He died for all? How does, if we were dead in sin, then He was made to be sin. Ain't that what it says down there in verse 21? For He hath made Him to be sin. Be sin for who? Us. Who's us? All that He died for. All that died with Him. So if we were dead in sin, He bore our sin in His own body on the tree. And then if we were dead to law, the Scripture says He was made a curse. He bore the curse of the law for us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And we were dead in Adam. Even so now shall we be made alive in Christ.
Yeah.
That's what it is to be a new creature in Christ. Dead in Adam, alive in Christ. Dead in law. Christ bore the curse of that law for us. Huh? We was made sinners. He was made to be sin. Born sinners. Let me show you Romans 6 just a minute. Look in Romans 6 with me. Oh, that's what the apostle meant. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How can you be dead and alive at the same time? That's what he said. I'm crucified with Christ. When was he crucified with Christ? The same way he was in Christ. When Christ on the cross, he died with him. When Christ died on the cross, we died with him.
That's right.
The life not I live in the flesh, I live by who? The Son of God. What did he do? He loved me. The love of Christ is strength. He loved me and gave himself for me. And now I'm living by the very faith of that Son of God. And then he said again another place, when Christ too is our life, not just the most important thing in our life, make Christ priority in your life. You're a day late and a dollar short. Christ is our life. Huh? We live in Him and He lives in us. But look here in Romans 6, in verse 6. Now watch this. This is what I'm... This is the judgment we come to since the love of Christ constrains us. His love for us and our love for Him. Now watch this. Knowing this, that our old man, who's he? Well, he was born in the Garden of Eden and he sinned against God and God threw him out and threw all of us out with him.
That's right.
He's as old as Adam. That's how old he is. This old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin, when he died on that tree, all the sins of all of God's elect, God made him to be sin. The whole body of sin, all the sins of God's people, was nailed to that tree, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve for sin. Now watch, he that is dead is freed from sin. When you're dead, what can law do to you? When you're dead, what can sin do to you? When you're dead, what can anybody do to you? Huh? Now watch this. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now watch it. Now if we be dead with Christ.
Yes, sir.
We believe that we shall also live with Him.
Yeah.
Well, He's dead, but now He's alive. Now watch this. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, He ain't going to die anymore. He ain't going to die anymore. Death don't have any more dominion over him. Now watch now. For he died unto sin one time. So since he died, sin has no more dominion over him. No more over us. But in that he lives unto God. Sets at God's right hand. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but all alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? Oh, beloved. Now let's look back over in our text. Oh, new creatures, you know, had new motives. New motives. We got new loves. And Christ loved us. Now look what it says in verse 15. That he died for all. We come to this judgment that all were dead, and so we died in him. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again for them. See, now he says we don't live for ourselves. There was a time we lived for ourselves. This is new. This is something new. This is something new. You find somebody that lives for themselves as selfish and self-centered, egocentric. You found somebody don't know the Master. And that's just all there is to it. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Him. We live unto Him. He is our life. We don't have any life apart from Him. We don't live for ourselves anymore, but live unto Him. We don't live for our own glory. We don't live for our own happiness. We don't live for our own pleasure. We don't live to satisfy ourselves. We live for Him. We live unto Him. And why? Because He died for us. And He rose again for us. And that's why I look down there in verse 19 with me just a minute. See, this is to wit that God was in Christ. Huh? God was in Christ. God was in Christ. We live unto Him who died for us. Down in verse 21, that He made Him to be sin for us. So how could we live for ourselves that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, and that God made Him to be sin for us? How can we live to ourselves after one offered such an incredible, glorious, blessed sacrifice? Huh? In verse 18 it says that all things are of God. Huh? God's the one who made Him to be sin. You can't make anybody to be sin. Christ didn't know any sin. He knew what sin was because He came to put it away. He knew the consequences of sin because He came to die for it. He knew the penalty of sin. He bore it. He knew that sin brings forth death because He died. But to experience sin, to experience sin, to think sin, to feel sin, to act sinful, He knew no sin. There was no sin in His heart, no sin in His mind, no sin in His flesh, no sin in His soul, no sin anywhere. So how did He become us? God made Him to be sin. You see, He was born of a sinful woman. They can call on Mary all they want to. They call on a woman that's dead. Sinful. Even she rejoiced in that God gave her a Savior.
Amen.
She said, God has given us a Savior. How can my Lord be in my womb? How can my Savior be in my womb? Oh, born of a sinful woman, and He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. When you looked at Him, He looked like any other human being. He walked like anybody else. He cried like anybody else. He bled like anybody else. He hungered like anybody else. He thirsted like anybody else. He had to sleep like anybody else. He prayed like everybody else. He was in the likeness of sinful flesh, but knew no sin. Huh? did no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens themselves. And oh my, when Christ died for us, our sin was His.
Yes, sir.
Became His. Became His. Was He actually sin? Well, let me ask you this question. Was you? Are you? But did He become actually what you are? Huh? Did He actually die? If He wasn't actually made sin, why did He actually die? It wasn't God regarding Him as sin. They could have had a legal transaction, said, here, we're just going to settle the books up here. I'm going to write down all the people's sins against you, and I'll write down all your righteousness over here and put it on account, and that way we'll just settle the account, and you'll just say, well, I paid off the debt, and you sit down here at my right hand. That's not the way it took. But the soul that sinneth, it's got to die. It's got to die. God cannot by no means clear the guilty. Our criminal system, it may be, our justice system may be in shambles, but even our own law says that you cannot clear a guilty man. If a man's guilty, he's got to suffer the penalty of that law. If a court finds him guilty, he's got to suffer the penalty. A year, 10 years, or death. And God says that soul that sins, he's going to suffer the penalty of the law. He's going to suffer the consequences of it. I'm not going to clear him of his guilt. I'm not going to bat my eyes, close my eyes, and say, nope, I'm just going to overlook it. They had good intentions. They meant well. They're pretty good folks. That's not the way God deals with things. The soul that sins, it's got to die. God's got a sword. It's called the sword of His justice. God's got a law. He ain't going to bend it or compromise it in any way. So Christ came into this world born under that law. And He lived under that law.
Amen.
And He had no sin of His own. So what God did, this is the wisdom of the gospel. God Himself came down in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made flesh, likened unto us, His own brethren. And God in His wisdom sent come Himself and His Son and took all the sins of these people and made Christ to be sin. So He's not going to clear the guilty, He's going to punish them. They're going to die for their sins. God's sword of justice is going to punish them. And so His law is upheld. He's kept His law. It's not been brought down. And there He is, our Lord Jesus Christ, there on the cross. God made Him to be sin. And that's why He said, oh, my soul, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? No, not my will, but Thine be done. And then on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
That's the consequences of sin, is to be forsaken of God. And God made Him to be sin. He actually became what we are.
Amen.
And what we did, only God could do somebody like that. Not only did He die for us, but watch what it says, He rose again for them. And that's what it does. All my sins are gone. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're gone. They're all taken away. Oh, my. Oh, boy. I've been punished for my sins. That's why I don't feel any guilt. That's why I don't feel any condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ.
Amen.
How can I be condemned? There's nothing to condemn me. I don't have any sin. I died to it. Kyle, I died for it. He that's dead is free from sin. Oh, I tell you. What a gospel we have. What a gospel. That allows you to be punished and live at the same time. The old man's crucified with Christ and the new one lives with Him. Just as he died under sin once and rose again, we died under sin once and now we're risen in him. And God can look at me now and be just and say, I find no sin in that man. Because it says we're made the very righteousness of God. We're at in Christ. Huh? All right, now look, let me show you another one here right quick. In verse 17. Old things are passed away. Now there's some old things that pass away. What are some of the old things that passed away? Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Right. Now what does that mean? That means, beloved, that we were in the flesh. That flesh means our old nature, our fallen nature. And since we're new creatures in Christ, Christ died for us and we died in Him, we don't consider ourselves or one another as being in the flesh. We can, you know, I don't judge you after the flesh. You don't judge me after the old nature. You see somebody do something and you don't hold it against them. Why? Because you don't consider them that way anymore. You consider them as being in Christ. Huh? And now watch this. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh. You see, there was a time, that's all we knew about Christ is what our flesh knew. There was a natural understanding, a fleshly understanding that we had of Christ. Every one of us had a fleshly understanding. When we was in fundamentalism, legalism, and free willism, we just knew Christ after the flesh. That's all we knew Him as. We thought we actually got saved because we shed a few tears and somebody told us we was. We actually thought we were saved because we made a decision. We accepted Jesus. We just knew Him after the flesh. Huh? We was like those who says, how did He say come down from heaven? We see His brothers and His sisters here. We didn't know that He laid down His life for the sheep. We thought He died for everybody. That's knowing Him after the flesh. We didn't know He was God Almighty manifest in the flesh. That was knowing Him after the flesh. All these people is going to go to these nativity scenes and stand around and talk about baby Jesus and go on about His incarnation. His incarnation didn't save us. His death on the cross is what saved us.
Amen.
That the only purpose He was born was to die. We knew Him after the flesh. We did not know Him as one who gave Himself for His people. We didn't know Him as a substitute for sinners. He was Jesus. All we had to do was just let Him into our hearts and accept Him and believe a few things about Him, believe He died for us, believe He loved us, and we was fixed up forever. Oh, we were natural with a natural understanding. And I tell you how also we know Him after the flesh. We tried to make our flesh acceptable to God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we tried to make ourselves acceptable to God. Did any of y'all ever do that? Huh? Y'all try to make yourself, well, I know I got to pray so much today. I got to read my Bible so much. I got to attend so many services. I got to give my tithes. And I've got to witness so much. I've got to visit the hospital. I've got to do all these things to make my flesh acceptable to God. Let me tell you something, what the Scripture says. I'm going to tell you, you know, we've got to see what the Scripture says. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. But oh my, Paul thought he was an imposter. Paul thought he was a false Messiah. And he tried his best to imprison, making havoc of the church, imprisoning men, women, children, putting them in jail because they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? But oh, see, we didn't know Him as God. We didn't know Him as sovereign. We didn't know him as one who had power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has gave him. We didn't know him as Redeemer. As the Redeemer, as this Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We didn't know him as one who came into this world to satisfy justice and bear our sin in his own body. No, no. We didn't know he loved his sheep and laid down his life for the sheep. We knew him that to the flesh. Now we don't, and that's what he says. Now we don't know him that way anymore. We don't know. How do we? We're new creatures. We're in Christ. Well, now we know who he is. We know he's the Lord of glory, King of kings. We know what he did. We know he came into this world to be our sin offering, our sacrifice, our substitute, to bear our sins. We know who he did it for. All that was given to him, his elect. We know where he is now. Sitting on a throne at the right hand of God with all power and authority given unto him. Oh my. We're in Christ. We're new creatures. Well, how did we become these new creatures? Well, in verse 18 tells us, all things are of God. God's the one that reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God did this. You see, only God can create. Now, you can take something and change it. You can take some material and make something new out of it. But nobody can take nothing and create something. But God can. And you know, when he made us new creatures and created us in Christ, you know, the original creation, while you turn over here to 2 Corinthians 4, the original creation did not resist God. He just spoke and it was done. But we, in our fallen nature, we resisted it. The original creation didn't resist it. We resisted it. Huh? He didn't have to overcome any prejudice in the original creation. He has to overcome prejudice in the new creation. There was no will against him in the original creation. We have a will against him. That's why it says in the day of his power, what does he have to do? Has to make his people willing. We're made willing. We're not willing until we're made willing. Ain't that right? He said he has to cause us to approach unto him.
Amen.
No man comes unto the Father except... No man comes unto me except the Father which sent me. What has he got to do? Got to draw him. So only God can create. Only God can. And he hath made all things new. Look here in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just like he did in the creation. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. Darkness was upon the deep of our souls, and God said, let there be light. And he hath shined in our hearts. What kind of light did he shine in our hearts? The knowledge of the glory of God.
Amen.
God made us to know his glory. Where's that glory at? In the person of his blessed Son. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. When you've seen God, when you've seen Christ, you've seen God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him bodily. When you know the only God we're going to see when we get to glory is going to be Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And everybody that saw Christ on the face of this earth, they was looking at God.
Amen.
He was looking at God Almighty that created this world and upholds it by the word of his power. That's who. Huh? And oh, beloved, God reconciled us to himself. Huh? God reconciled us to himself. Now watch this in verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. This is how we're made new creatures. Reconciling the world unto Himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Taking their sins and putting them somewhere else. No wonder David said, "Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." And oh, beloved, He's the one who gave us faith. Look here in verse 5. He gave us this faith. He wrought this faith in us. 2 Corinthians 5:5. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." And it says in verse 7, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Oh my. You know what? You don't see me in Christ, and I don't actually see you in Christ. I don't see His body. Only place I see His body is in His church, in you. But what I mean by saying by that is that I've never actually seen Christ but one way. That's by faith. How do I know He is? Made Himself known to me. How do I know that my sins are gone? He told me so in His Word. How do I know He's at God's right hand? How do I see Him? By faith. By faith. And oh, beloved, let me show you this and I'll be done. See, we look for a new body, even a new heaven and a new earth. He causes us to desire to be with Him and be done with this old body. Look what He says there in verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," this old tent dissolving, and it is. Ain't it fading away? We watch it fade away right in front of us. But that inward man is made new every day. We get up every day and that old new man, that new man's still there. He's still got more power, got more love, needs Christ more. But oh my, if when this is dissolved, we have a building of God, one that God Himself built. A house not made with hands. Not like that tabernacle out in the wilderness. Not like the houses we live in. This is eternal and it's in the heavens. And we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That new body He's talking about. If so be clothed, we won't be found naked. You remember our Lord says, you know, I suffer you to be as gold tried in the fire that your nakedness appear not. Well, that's what He's saying here. We don't want to appear naked. We don't want to just have this house dissolved and just stand there naked. We want this new house. We want this new body. We want clothed upon with Christ. For that we are in this tabernacle, we groan. We're burdened. Burdened with this world. Burdened with its wickedness. Burdened with ourselves. Burdened with our lack of conformity to Christ. Not for that we would be unclothed. We're not just wanting to have our clothes taken off, this old body just be done away with. But clothed upon. What do we want clothed with? Immortality. That this mortality might be swallowed up of what? Life. That's when we're going to live. Now who done this for us? God did this for us. Thank God for this work. And He hath given us this ministry of reconciliation. That's why He says in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." We persuade men. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. We're here to tell men, tell women, boys, girls, God was in Christ. God made Him to be sin. And you need a righteousness that you don't have. You can't face God in your own sins. If you do, you'll be found naked. And knowing that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, I persuade you. I persuade you for Christ's sake. I persuade you because of the judgment. I persuade you because of your sin. I persuade you because of your flesh. I persuade you because of your inequities and iniquity and trespasses, I urge you and I persuade you and I pray you, be reconciled to God. Call on God. Look to God. Submit to God. Call on God. Come to God. Come to Him the way He said, in Christ. Our blessed, blessed Savior, gracious, eternal God, thank you again for allowing us to preach your gospel, to tell our own hearts and tell the hearts of those here today what our Lord Jesus did, what our Lord did, how He made us new creatures, gave us a new heart, gave us a new love, gave us new knowledge, things we didn't have before. Thank you, Lord. And, oh, Father, I pray that you would enable someone today, if Christ has done something for them, that you would enable them to confess that, to own that, acknowledge that. And, Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for the food. Thank you for the time we're going to have this afternoon. And do bless our time together. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the love, care, that went into preparing it. Enable us, O Lord, to honor you today as we fellowship together. We offer you these thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 222 in our hymn book just a minute. Sing a couple of verses of this. And